Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. Our verse today is Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 21, this marvelous promise. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord, my spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. And upon this very verse of God's word, we can take our stand, taking hope that the church of the Lord Jesus will never die. As long as the sun stands in the sky, so the church of the Lord Jesus shall march forward. And until that day when the trumpet sounds and the Lord returns, that word of the Lord will never fail. Do you believe that today? If you do, while you'll be full of hope. And I trust that today the Lord will minister to your heart. We're going to move now to our hymn, Jehovah Tsidkenu, and then to the message.
No. It also means that we have a new heart. Now, if you haven't already read it, I'd like you to pick up the little blue leaflet that's on the foyer table, and you'll note by the frog in the pot. You'll see a little graphic there on the top left corner, and it's a pot on a stove. And alas, it's not color, so you don't see the red rings of the stove, but the water is bubbling, it's boiling. And that frog, it sits right there in the pot, and as the water heats up, you would expect the frog to jump out. But there is a long tradition of this story that the frog will remain in the water until it's cooked. Now, ladies, you might need to try that one out. Girls, catch a frog. Put it in the pot and warm it up ever so slowly. The theme of that leaflet is Nicodemus. His religion was killing him. And Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Ye must be born again." And that applies to every generation. That applies to every time. Old Testament believers were indwelt by the Spirit. New Testament believers must be born again, born from above. And of course, the Lord was referring to that mighty miracle. Henry Scougal, the Scottish preacher, he said, "Conversion or regeneration is the life of God in the soul of man." The preaching of regeneration or the new birth marked the ministry of George Whitefield, the great evangelist. He had many, many sermons and emphasis upon the need to be born again. And that is a very powerful work. So the agent of our conversion is the Holy Spirit. Now also look at the text and you'll see the means of regeneration. It is the Word of God. The Word and my words which I have put in thy mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth. Once you're born again, once this Word of the Lord is in your heart, it will never ever leave you. You will be a Christian forever. We believed in saved today and saved tomorrow and saved for eternity. When you have a new heart and you are born again by the Word of God, these are the things that come together. It's the Spirit and the Word. Now turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. And you will see how Peter emphasized this. And he said, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." And so God's word will never perish. And when you have that word born in you, it will never leave you. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. It will not be lost. It will not flounder, even in an ungodly world. There's another passage where it talks about the Lord giving us a new heart. And in that new heart, the law of God is written on the heart. That's Hebrews 8, verse 10. The law of God is written on our hearts. And it's like an operation where the surgeon opens the heart and plants that law within us. The mark of conversion is that we love the law of the Lord. His law is our delight day and night, as the psalmist in Psalm 1. That's the mark of a Christian. And as I have said before, anybody that has an argument with the Bible is never converted. But once you are truly converted, this word, there is a loyalty built right into you. You're locked into it and you rejoice in it. And so all things in the Christian's life is to be tested and verified by the Bible. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it's because there's no light in them. And so our barometer, our gauge, our ruler, our test is the scriptures of truth. And that is the stand of the Bible Christian. Now the Lord has done a miracle from generation to generation. And the marvelous thing is that he's going to perpetuate that same mark of conversion, the work of the Spirit and the Word, as he has done in us in the generation yet to come. And I simply want to wind up tonight with the statement that this is an endless perpetuation for these reasons. If you look at chapter 60, the first few verses, which really continues the theme, it says, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee." Even after all the darkness, even after all the dismal discouragement that you read in the opening verses of chapter 59, arise, shine, for thy light is come. And on down through those first five verses, you will see how the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light. Now that's speaking away down the future, a long while after Christ comes, after he dies on the cross, after Pentecost, the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. And so here is a promise for the future. We also consider the promises of the Lord Jesus. And the Lord made it very, very clear that this gospel, the light of it, shall not perish, but that his word will endure forever. Let's go to Matthew 24 and to verse 12 and just read how the Lord Jesus guaranteed that the gospel will never cease. Matthew 24 and verse 12. "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." And no doubt that's a dark day. "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." So it's not going to be hopeless. We'll be dark, but not hopeless. And then he says in verse 14, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end of the world come." Then shall the end come. And so we can take heart tonight that our Lord Jesus, in sync with what we learned in Isaiah 59:21, that this gospel, the light of it, will not be exterminated and the world plunged into depravity and darkness for centuries or for any lengthy period of time. Also, the Lord Jesus promised that he would send the Holy Spirit to his disciples. In John chapter 14, the Lord said he would send another comforter, and of course he did. And the disciples would not do the work in their own strength. Their ministry would not be their own power, but the Holy Spirit would come upon them. Now, another reason why this is endless, and I hope you haven't lost your place in Isaiah 59:21, because I want to refer you to the margin. Most people have a margin references in their Bible. Some don't, but most do. And if you're ever buying a new Bible, make sure you get one with marginal references. They can be very helpful. But there's one text that is cited in Isaiah 59:21, and it points you to the New Testament book of Romans chapter 11 and verse 26. And here is the Apostle Paul, and he is actually quoting Isaiah 59:21 in the New Testament. So if you get the picture, you have this seedbed promise in Isaiah 59, and it is waiting right down through the ages. And then Paul, he's writing this thesis to the church at Rome, and he's talking about the ingathering of the Gentiles. And he says here in Romans 11, verse 26, and he quotes the exact words that you get in Isaiah 59, 20 and 21. "And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer and turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance." And so here is the apostle. Now notice what he is doing, and if he can do this, we can do it. if he can go to an Old Testament passage, pick out statements as a promise, and bring it into the New Testament, and apply it to the church in his day and even beyond his day, then we can lay hold upon that as well. And you'll see here in Romans 11:26, it will mean the gathering of the Gentiles in the New Testament church. The future is not over. The work of the gospel is not plunging into darkness. And then in God's sovereign way, at some point, the Jews will be brought in their jealousy. And because they witness this gathering of the church based on these great Old Testament promises, then they will be gathered in as well. But I would point out this, and I don't claim to be an expert on what is going to happen to the Jewish nation, but the future Jew is going to be born again the same way you and I are born again. The Jew is going to enter into the covenant blessings of God, which will be the same covenant blessings that we are laying hold upon. Now, some will say, but they have the land. Yes, they have the land. Some say, well, there was going to be a future designation to be. That may be, but Jews need Christ. Jews need the gospel. Jews need the blood of Jesus, not just the blood of animals and goats. And so this gospel will be preached to Gentile and Jew. And if you understand the whole drift of the apostle in Romans, he is making no difference between Jew and Gentile as far as the gospel is concerned, as far as their justification is concerned. And they follow the drift. They have all fallen into sin. They all need to be justified. They all need the blood of Jesus. They all need to have peace with God. And all are gathered into the same olive tree. But that work of the Spirit in the heart and the Word of God in the heart, that must happen to every convert in every age. And so we have a great promise here tonight, and there are many uses that we can make of it. It applies to our little church here tonight. Someone say, you know, that this ministry is going to be over someday. May as well close the doors. But the Bible says that this gospel shall be preached to the end of the earth. It applies to our whole denomination. In the scale of United States of America and Canada, our denomination doesn't even come to a drop in the bucket. But it doesn't mean that God is finished with the true preaching of his word. And it doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit has departed from us, but rather we have these promises. It also applies to the aged servant of God. And I might have to put myself in that category very soon. The aged servant of God, because one day my ministry will be over. What's going to happen then? How's the work going to continue? Well, it's not going to depend on men. It's going to be the work of the Spirit who will put his word in our mouths and in the mouths of our children and their children and the next generation and so on, and by his Spirit. And God is often pleased to use the witness, the legacy of the gospel in perpetuation. I think of Stephen Boyd's testimony. You remember about a year ago he gave his testimony when he was heading up north, and he told us of how he went spent some time with his grandparents in West Bank, West Kelowna. And they took him to church, and he had quite an influence upon him. And then he went to Bible camp to Anvil Island, and there the Lord saved him. And his grandparents were the first to know. He really wanted to tell his grandparents the good news that he was saved. And what a wonderful thing that the Lord uses that legacy of parent, grandparents, parents, children, and as a young boy, that he was influenced, seeds were sown, the gospel was given, and he came to faith in Christ. And now he's up in Quesnel, attending our church in Prince George as much as he can, and even got the guitar out sometimes, I hear. So he is using opportunities to serve the Lord. The other example that came to my mind as I thought on this, and that is of Beulah's grandmother. I knew her for just a few years before she died. But there was a gospel campaign, a tent gospel mission being conducted outside our hometown. And this was kind of a tradition every year about harvest time, September, when the weather is still reasonably good, hopefully. They would erect a tent in a field, put all the straw bales in, and create seating, and put in a temporary pulpit. They even had a generator going to provide power if the evenings got dark. And because that concentrated gospel effort was on, Beulah's grandmother, who stayed with Beulah's parents permanently, she wanted to go and live with her unsaved daughter, who lived near where this tent was erected. And she went to stay with her daughter with the sole purpose that she would say, I want to go to the meeting tonight. And of course, her daughter would have to take her. And that was the whole reason behind it. And she prayed and she schemed and she got her daughter to a number of those meetings. Well, sadly, it wasn't very long after that that Beulah's grandmother passed away quite suddenly. And it was only shortly after her funeral that I learned that her aunt had trusted the Lord, and she had never told anybody. Her husband would not be very supportive, but she came to know Christ. And tonight she is in heaven. She's in heaven because of that legacy, that witness of the gospel from generation to generation. Now we need to pray for that. Now, does it matter if our parent children are Free Presbyterian? Well, that would be my strong preference. I would that all my children were Free Presbyterians, but it may not be the will of God, but it is vital that every one of them know Christ and they walk with the Lord in the light of His Word. And I pray for that. I yearn for that. I think of myself as Job at times, who offered that sacrifice. I plead the blood of Jesus for my children, that they will each know the Lord and walk with the Lord, and that their children will know the Lord. And here is a great promise in Isaiah 59:21 that we can take to heart, that this is God's covenant with us, that the Word, the Spirit He has put in our hearts, the Word that He has put in our mouths, He will put into the mouths and hearts of our children and their children forever. And when I am off the scene and my few years of ministry are all over, God will conduct His work, continue His work. Dr. Paisley often said that God buries His servants but continues the work. And He does. And now even Dr. Paisley is off the scene and his church is still going on. And the denomination that he founded is still going on. And while each generation has its struggles and its cares and disappointments and battles, God's work goes on. And here is the Lord's promise, Isaiah 59:21. As for me, this is my covenant, saith the Lord. He's putting His name on the line. And we can go to prayer and plead with God and say, now, Lord, remember Your promise to Your church. Remember to perpetuate the work and keep the light burning and shining.
Thank you for staying with the program here today. This is Ian Gallagher, and we too take great assurance from this wonderful promise of God's Word. Would you join with me in prayer and let us ask the Lord to fulfill His Word in our lives and in our service for God? Father, we thank Thee for this marvelous promise. We rejoice in the truth of this Word. And we thank Thee that You're going to build Your church, You're going to gather in Your people, You're going to save the lost, and You're going to have a witness right to the end of the world, even when the trumpet sounds. O Lord, we pray that You will fill our hearts full of faith and hope today. Lift up the brother or sister that is cast down. Grant, Lord, that You will give strength and give new perspective, that God is on the throne, and that man, while weak and frail, is still the instrument of God, because you've chosen to take this gospel treasure, putting it into clay vessels, that all the glory and all the honor may be of the Lord. And so we pray that you will be glorified today. Remember those who are cast down, those who are weary of life and all the struggles that life brings. O Lord, thou art our shepherd, and we put our trust in thee. We remember those also who are ill and laid aside and in sickness. Comfort, and if it please thee, Lord, to heal them, restore them to strength, that they may serve the Lord. Give us each zeal in our souls to live unto the Lord, to die to sin, and to live more and more unto righteousness. We ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Now, at the close of the program, I just want to exhort you to be in touch. Send us an email, cloverdalefpc@telus.net. That's the email. You can go to our website, of course, and get all the information. There you'll find studies, sermons, and helpful articles, Bible studies that will, I hope, minister to your heart. We're here to reach men and women for Christ, and I hope that you will make this broadcast known. Tell your friends, gather in, let the Lord guide you and use you in the work of the gospel. So stay tuned now for these closing announcements. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We're on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.